I'm going to try to be done right about 8:15, and appreciate your faithfulness. This is our fifth lesson, I believe, of six, and or of eight, rather, fifth of eight, and it might be sixth. I'm not sure. Amen. It's been such a crazy week. Last week, I lost my mind. Hallelujah. But it was wonderful because the green team won, didn't they, Bryce? Amen. Hallelujah. Grow green. Grow green. Amen. Now, I don't say that anymore because, you know, we got Ohio State fans and Michigan fans and Michigan State fans. And I'm a big Red fan. So there, Brother Horsch, how do you like them apples? Amen. And praise God. Let's stand. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Amen. And we'll be talking about the power of Satan tonight. The power of Satan. We talked about the works of Satan last week. The week before, rather, and then the power of Satan tonight. Matthew chapter 4, let's read responsively, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered, Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Father, please bless your word to our hearts now. Strengthen us for the battle, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You have the notes here, and what we'd like to do is go through each one of these scriptures. As we study the subject of the power of Satan, it is very important for us to understand that he is not God. Amen. He's the enemy of God. He's not God's brother. He's not equal in power with God. He's not, okay? Only God is omnipotent or all-powerful. God said to Abraham, I am the Almighty God. It's God that is all-powerful, amen? But Satan does have power. Not in our sheet here, but I want you to go with me to Jude. The little book of Jude, and look at verse 9. You can call it, I guess, Jude chapter 9, amen. But Jude, verse 9. And you will notice much repetition in our study. And that is okay, folks. We learn line upon line, precept upon precept. We learn bit by bit, verse by verse, piece by piece, amen. Jude, in verse 9, says, Yet Michael the archangel, the only one in the Bible referred to as an archangel, one of three angels named Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. It says, And Michael the archangel durst not, yet when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee. Listen, Michael was, in my estimation of the Scriptures, the most powerful of the angels. Brother Jeff, could he have taken Satan? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, he had respect for his power. Listen to me. You be careful about calling the devil names. You be careful about that. You better be right with God. Yeah. Amen? You better be right with God. And even then, just take a cue from Michael and say, "The Lord rebuke thee. Get thee behind me, Satan. The Lord rebuke thee." Amen. As we see, Satan does have power. His power is limited by God. Go over to Job chapter 1. Again, I know we've been through these verses before, but we'll go through them again. Job chapter 1, you know the story. We'll look at it a lot next week. We're excited about the lesson next week, the message entitled "The Words of Satan." Satan spoke 346 words that are recorded in your King James Bible. We'll look at them all next week in regards to there's one particular thread that follows those words. But here in Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, again, we're very familiar with these verses 9 through 12 rather. It says, remember what happened, verse 8, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And then you jump down to verse 9, and Satan says, "Oh yeah, I know who he is, amen." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." You know what this tells me, ladies and gentlemen, is that for reasons known only to God, he allowed Satan to afflict Job, but he can only go as far as God let him go. And that tells me that he is not all-powerful. He has power, Brother Hauser, amen, but he's not all-powerful. And so we want to look tonight, I want to look at 10 things, if we could tonight, 10 things that Satan has the power to do. And listen, there may be more. You may come to me afterwards and say, "Pastor, there's 15. I know it, but I want to be done at 8:20. Amen. Can't stay here all night. Hallelujah. So the first one we looked at in detail last week, and we're going to look at again next week, but go to Genesis chapter 3. And I realize you have it right there on your worksheets there. But Satan has the power to make people doubt. How many of you know that's true in your own life? Say amen. Amen. Absolutely. I don't care how strong of a Christian you are, you have battled against doubt. Why? Because Satan has that power. He has the power. What does he say there in Genesis 3:1? "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And we have three things here. We looked at them last week. We're going to look at them again next week. The first thing that he made Eve doubt was the truth of God. The answer to that question was yes. God, listen, God said that, hey, you know what? We could eat of all the trees of the garden, but there was one he didn't want us to eat of. Did God say? Yes, God did say. Okay? But what happened? She doubted it. Hey, by the way, we're no different. Things get tight. We get impatient. We get ahead of God. We think God is not going to provide. Did he say he would? Amen? He certainly did. He's good by his word. But what happens? We doubt. What did that man say when after Jesus had healed all those people, he brought unto him his son, and Jesus said to him in Mark chapter 9, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What did he say? "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." He said, "I believe." But that doubt, it lingers. Brother Bauman, I have a testimony similar to yours. I got saved out of Catholicism. I was what you would call a lapsed Catholic. I was, you know, when I turned 13, I'd had enough of the Catholic Church. But I've had doubt throughout my days of being saved. Am I really saved, Miss Jude? Did I say it just right? Did I do it just right? Listen, I am. You know why? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord" is in the Bible. The truth of God. By the way, the truth of God will help you with doubts. That's why you ought to be in your Bible often. Amen. And so he can cause us to doubt the truth of God. And again, we looked at this last week, so I want to just move through this. He can cause us to doubt the motives of God. If you jump down to verse number 5, where he says there, "For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and you'll be as gods." He said, you know, God's got His own motive. He doesn't want you to be like Him at all. By the way, if you read the New Testament, Brother Becker, that's exactly what He wants us to be. Conformed into the image of His Son. Amen. That's His purpose for us. And so then, obviously, He also gets us to doubt the justice of God. Men all around us do not believe in a hell. Sometimes Christians don't really believe in a hell like we ought to. What does Satan say? "He shall not surely die." No, not going to happen. No, he gets us to doubt. Okay, how about this one? This one is incredible. Go to Matthew 13. We're in the New Testament for the rest of the lesson tonight. We could talk about in Job how Satan has power over the elements, doesn't he? Didn't he bring that great wind there over? I think about what Miss Barb was just talking about in Myanmar. People certainly know God is in charge of it all, but Satan is the god of this world and certainly exercises that power. Matthew chapter 13. Look at this. This is incredible. Matthew chapter 13, and here we have the parable of the sower, verse 4. And we see the first seed that is sown. It's known as wayside seed. It says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." So he gives that parable, and then of course his disciples say, "Hey, explain that to us. What were you talking about there?" And in verse 19, he explains what verse 4 means. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." I have your number 2. Satan has the power to steal thoughts. I wonder how many people, Brother Boston, have sat in a church where the preacher was preaching it plain. I mean, it wasn't hard to understand. But that person just kind of thought, and Satan just came and said, "You know, there's a game on in 15 minutes. Or you got a bill or something. It's time to balance the checkbook," or whatever it is. He has the power to steal thoughts. Let me just give you my opinion. I believe he has the power to plant thoughts. I believe that with all my heart. You know what? I've been a victim of that myself. So now you're trying to live for God, and all of a sudden some ungodly thought comes into your mind that you haven't had in years, and you think, "Where did that come from?" I've got one answer. Satan. He has power. Never a general knew his enemy like Satan knows your mind. He knows what works on you. He knows what doesn't work on you. He has the power to steal thoughts. How about this? Go to Matthew 16. I'll tell you what, this one will floor you. Here's the Apostle Peter. Great Christian. I love Peter. 16 and verse 23, Matthew. Remember Peter, it says, Jesus had just said in verse 21 that he was going to be killed, raised again the third day. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Brother Brown, he said to Peter, "Hey, devil, get behind me." Look what he says there. "Thou art an offense to God, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." I have here, Satan has the power to use unspiritual Christians. Now listen to me. He cannot possess you. Why? Because he is repulsed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. He doesn't want to be anywhere around the Holy Spirit. And physics still says, two objects can't occupy the same space. Amen. So if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. But I have seen it. I have seen it. I have seen it. I have seen God use, I've seen God allow Satan to use unspiritual Christians to do Satan's work. Most times, where I've seen it, division and cliques within churches. Causes splits, fissures, the missions program goes down, the outreach goes down, everybody starts looking at each other with a skewed glance, and I'll tell you what, don't ever think that people that do that aren't saved. Sometimes they aren't. But Abe, sometimes they are. They're saved. They just got unspiritual about something.
Yep.
Because you know what? If the devil can do it to Peter, he can certainly do it to you and I if we get out of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so he can use, has the power to use unspiritual Christians. Luke chapter 13, we looked at this already, but I want to look at it again. Looked at it several times. He has the power to physically afflict. He has the power to physically afflict. It's such a balance because God many times uses physical affliction for good, but He'll turn it around on the devil. And you see verse 16, here's this woman that was bowed over backwards, amen. She was really looking at her shins. And it says there, Jesus said, "And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" He has the power to physically afflict. You know what Paul said when he asked Jesus three times to remove the thorn in the flesh? You know what he said about it, Brother Bryce? He said it was the messenger of Satan. What he said. Given to buffet me. I think about sweet saints of God that deal with physical affliction. Take it a step far. I believe he has the power to emotionally afflict you too. And does. Often. By the way, I love this woman's testimony. Thank God for the house of God. Where even if you are in physical affliction, even if we've got to get people out there in a wheelchair and get you into this place, thank God for a local church where you'll be encouraged, amen, where people will tell you, "I've been praying for you about that. I've been lifting you up. I'm so glad to see you," where we can sing the songs of Zion, amen. Thank God. By the way, thank God she was faithful to the house of God that day. What if she skipped? What if she said, "You know what? My back hurts. Hey, you know what? She'd have been right, Brother Kelly. Her back probably did hurt a lot." And she'd have missed out. I think about that, amen. The power to physically afflict. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. We'll go to both cross references here. We're good. It's about 8:08 here. I'm good. Got point number 6 here out of 10. We're heading down the back stretch, amen. John chapter 13, look at verse 2. Verse 1 here, of course, the end, the Last Supper. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And the supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him." If you jump down to verse 27, it says, "And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly." Go over to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Here we see the church just born in Acts chapter 2, I believe. But then we see a problem here in the early church. It wasn't a problem that people gave of their wealth and their possessions to help these poor Christians. It was a problem that someone lied about it. They wanted to seem spiritual. Listen, it would have been just as spiritual to say, "I gave a little." Come on. We got people in our church that just give a little. And it's spiritual. Give what they can. Amen. But what did this person do? This Ananias and Sapphira, they kind of puffed. "Oh yeah, we gave a bunch." Verse 3 says, "But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Number 6, five. Satan has the power to move people to evil. To move people to evil acts or to move people to do evil. Satan has the power. Hey, all you have to do, and I don't recommend it, is watch the nightly news. If you want to see that Satan has the power to move people to do evil. Things that just absolutely boggle the mind. I was talking today, having lunch, and we were talking about, I said, you know, if the Lord would allow us one day, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but if the Lord would allow us one day to live in the country a little bit more, where my kids could run and play in my yard, I would like it. What we're doing is we're talking about when we were kids. And you know, you look at the world through rose-colored glasses, amen. How many of you know that's true, amen? But we played ball all the time with kids in the neighborhood, just everywhere. Folks, I have 8 sex offenders within 2 miles of my home. My kids aren't playing ball in the neighborhood. Just not doing it. Not doing it. Why? What are you talking about here? Satan has the power to move people to do evil. And he does. And he does. I want you to notice this next one. This one really is a frightful one. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I've talked to preachers, and it's always a difficult thing. But there is a place, ladies and gentlemen, in a church body for church discipline. It's always with the goal of restoration. Always. Always is. When you start from that premise, I believe God blesses it. But there's a point where here, what we're looking at is a situation of sexual immorality within a church that the church knew about and didn't deal with. And look, if you look at verse 5, it talks about this man and his stepmother being put out of the church. And it says in verse 5, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Number 6, Satan has the power to kill unrepentant Christians. God allows him to do that. I'll tell you what, you read something like that, and it makes you want to repent. If my flesh was to be destroyed, I would be dead. Amen? I wonder how many Christians, I've known stories, I've talked to preachers about turning people over to the Lord, people that just wouldn't repent, where the preacher just said, I'm going to turn you over to the Lord. And it wasn't long before they went home to glory. Satan has that power. He has the power there. You're in 1 Corinthians, go to 2 Corinthians, we're 0.7 here, 4 more and we're done. And boy, I need to move because it's 8:14 here. The youth pastor will still be another 50 minutes, amen, so I'll blame it on him. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Think about this, really starts in verse 3. Think about this as we go out for Extra Mile Sunday, Extra Mile Saturday, amen. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. We have no business, ladies and gentlemen, receiving the gospel and then keeping it to ourselves. We're not supposed to hide it under a bushel. Amen? Amen? Verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan has the power to hold people in unbelief. And does. By the way, think about that. When you think about that, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. You say, does my prayer really do any good? It certainly does. Satan fears when a committed Christian is on his knees. He has the power to hold people in unbelief. 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. I think about this again. It's a fearful passage. That's why you need to know you're saved. You need to have a Bible reason why you're saved. It says in verse 13, Paul talking about those that would pervert the gospel. He said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan has the power to disguise himself. Listen, folks, he doesn't come in a red suit. He doesn't wear his horns. He doesn't come with his pitchfork. He comes as an angel of light. He comes as somebody who might say something the first time that we might agree with. My dear friend Marty Schott said this, "Apostates have the same vocabulary, but they have a different dictionary." Yeah. Amen? There are people all over this city that are occupying pulpits that are no more saved than a hog is. And you know who their leader is? The one who can disguise himself. The one that can say a few religious things and make people believe it. And that's the devil. Number 9, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And this is coming soon. Amen. I believe the Lord's coming soon, folks. I know He said, "I'll come quickly," but I believe He's coming soon. And then this will unfold here in 2 Thessalonians verse 7. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." That's that hindering Holy Spirit that is going to be gone. His hindering ministry is going to be over at the rapture. "Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even whose coming is after the working of" who? "Satan. With all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." It says there, power and signs and lying wonders. If you go over to Revelation 13, we see that manifested in the tribulation. If you study your Bible, you know that Revelation 13 gives us a full view of what we call the satanic trinity. Satan, the counterfeit God the Father, the Antichrist, the counterfeit God the Son, and the false prophet, the counterfeit God the Holy Spirit. And it says there in verse number 13 about that false prophet, "He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." I don't know about you, but if I saw somebody bring down fire from heaven, I'd be impressed. Amen? I'd be impressed. I'd say, "Elijah did that. Wow." And then it says, "And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast." Satan has power to perform miracles. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He has power to perform. Listen, how many people, Brother Bauman, how many people have prayed to the Blessed Virgin to be healed of something and were?
Yeah.
Who do you think has the power to do that?
Same.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Able to do great miracles. Going to do incredible miracles during the tribulation. Going to heal the beast of the deadly wound. Going to heal him. And do incredible miracles, so that people are going to say, "Brother Brown, this has got to be God. If there ever was God, this has got to be Him." Satan has the power to do miracles. Lastly tonight, you go over just a page, and we talked about this already, Revelation 12, verse 3. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon." We know that in verse 9 it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil." So many times God leaves His Word open. But there are times where he closed it. He said, the dragon is Satan. Amen. Right there. Then he says this, the great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Think about this, folks. We'll close with this. Satan had the power to deceive 1/3 of heaven's angels. Those incredible, powerful, created beings of God, Satan has the power to deceive 1/3 of them. That I believe now are the devils that we know. Some called demons. Same thing, fallen angels. How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens, because Satan is powerful. He's powerful. He's not to be messed with, but I'll tell you this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. The power of Satan. Father, thank you again for this evening. Thank you for your goodness. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to understand that Satan is powerful, but that you're more powerful. Lord, thank you that you are God. And Lord, that you do care for your children. Lord, help us to go in your grace and in your love tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's not an invitation song, but I feel like singing it. How about page 34? How great thou art. Hey, we talked about Satan's power, but God is a whole lot greater than Satan. Amen. Let's lift it up as a mighty chorus tonight, just a hymn of praise. We'll sing the first and the last of page 34. Let's stand. Amen. How great thou art. Amen. Amen. Let's sing it now. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Well, you can't sing this song without singing verse 3. We'll sing verses 3 and 4. And when I think that God His Son not sparing, oh, what a great Savior, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee, how great Thou art, how great Thou art. Oh, on the last, think about it, could be today, amen, sing it now. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and claim my God. Oh. Amen. Think about it now. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Amen. All God's people said, amen. Yeah, Satan's powerful, but he's not all powerful. Our God is all powerful. Brother Jim Boston, why don't you come and close us in a word of prayer. Love to see folks out if you're able to come out on Saturday. Even if you're able to just come out for an hour or 2 hours, we're going to go from 10 to 4. And again, we'll sandwich a lunch somewhere in between there and meet together. Just listen, let's try to get the gospel out to somebody this week. You know, we ought to do that every week. Well, my ears hurt. Go ahead, say it again. Yeah, say it again. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. Otherwise, Curtis Hudson used to say, if you don't say amen when I do this, my ears will look like mud flaps on a tractor, trailer, truck. Amen. And listen, let's just get the gospel to somebody. Let's get in somebody's life, make a difference for Christ. Amen. That's what God wants. Brother Jim, please come. And a great friend day. We had a great crowd on the bus. I got privileged to drive the bus on Sunday morning, which is rare. And Mr. Curry gave that to me. And he wrestled about it a little bit. And I said, hey, if you don't mind. And he was so gracious. He was in today. I appreciate it. Brother Curry's a servant. Servant. Thank God for servants. Amen. Brother Jim, please dismiss us in prayer, sir.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful this night. Thank you for this lesson, God's word. Lord, I'm thankful for the pastor. Lord, I just pray that we'll use this, knowing that tools of the devil, Lord, to help us serve you better, knowing that his tools are ineffective to us, Lord. Yield to you. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll use this church, help us to go out this coming week. We are thankful for the great weather and the great turnout last week, Lord.
Yes.
Remember to answer prayer. We do pray that you'll be with us this coming Lord's Day. May someone be saved this week.
Amen.
Well, thank you for it. In Christ's name, we pray.
Lord loves you. I love you. Till we meet again, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Make sure you meet Brother Bauman. Amen. Oh, thank you, Miss Margie. Thank you very much. Amen. Perfect.
But other than that, it's today.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, thank you.